First time I've ever preached wearing a baseball jersey, so that's pretty cool. Hopefully it's a hit. Yeah, don't say strike. All right. If it isn't, I guess you'll put me out. All right. I had to put this on so I can walk around. Okay, we're done. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I didn't hear it, so I'm not asking. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That would make more sense. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, and thank you, God, for your goodness to us. And Lord, it's already been good to be in your house. Thank you so much for all the visitors with us this morning. And God, there's a lot of excitement today, a lot of things we'll be doing. But God, I pray for these next few moments that, Lord, you'd still our hearts, and Lord, may you captivate our thoughts, and may the Holy Spirit just speak to us as only he can. God, I just pray that, Lord, you just please be exalted, and God, we love you, and I do pray that, Lord, you just please use the words that you've given me, and Lord, hide me and lift up, Lord, your Son. And I pray that, Lord, you draw men to you. In your name I pray, amen. In this passage of Scripture, I'm going to read verse number 17 and verse number 18 in just a moment. But I grew up under what we call hard preaching. By hard preaching, I mean that my grandpa is that way, my family members, my dad, many of you know. But he preached hard, as in loud, as in exciting, as in your face, as in arms waving everywhere, somebody shouting amen, hankies are waving every once in a while, red-faced with veins popping out of your neck kind of preaching. The first time that I ever preached a message, my grandpa Hudson, he pulled me aside. He said, "Are you nervous?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, just understand this. When you're done, if you're not soaked in sweat, your shirt untucked, and walking on 2 inches of your pant leg, then you didn't preach." I was like, okay. But that's the way he preached. But, you know, we live in a world today that kind of has gotten away from that. And there's a time for all styles of preaching, and absolutely. But it's kind of looked on, unfortunately, in the world today as hard preaching as being kind of odd or foolish. And I'm definitely not, I don't like shows and pretend things. I'm not going to put on a show for anybody. And you can't, if you pretend there's a fire, everybody knows. But I do want to preach. And preaching should be, well, the word preaching here in this passage, we're about to read it, the word means to declare with a living voice. It's interesting. Living voice. In other words, it's not dead. There ought to be some excitement. And I'm thankful for everyone who's teaching the Word of God, but we've got too many that are just sitting on a stool with their hands folded, never wanting to offend anybody, when a lot of times we just need some old-fashioned preaching. And just what thus saith the Lord. And if it steps on my toes or your toes, then maybe if that's what we need, that's what we should get. But I want to share this real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And let's read verse number 17 and verse number 18. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." It says there in that passage of Scripture that, again, Christ, Paul said, called him not to baptize. Called him not to baptize, but to preach. Now, I'm not going to preach on this section of the verse, but it does make a very important point here. The fact is this, that if baptism was a means of salvation, then why in the world would Paul not have been called to baptize? So if there's anyone here today who you're counting on the fact that you were baptized as a child or baptized later down the road, and that's the reason you're going to heaven, that is a work, and that does not get you to heaven. And, the Apostle Paul said, "I have been called and I have been sent by God, but not to baptize, but to do something that does affect eternity, preach the gospel." So You know, we have a responsibility to listen. We should want preaching, and then we need to listen to preaching. There was a boy that got in a car after church on a Sunday morning, and he said, "Dad, how high can you count?" The dad said, "I don't know. I can't answer that. How about you, son?" And the boy looked at him and said, 5,237. He said, "Well, that's interesting. Why'd you stop there?" He said, "Church was over." Well, that's not what we're supposed to be doing in church, all right? We need to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. And while there may be many that say, well, preaching is just that's foolish to get all excited about things. It's foolish to, you know, to get all zealous and red-faced about the Bible. Well, actually, the Bible says that the people that thinks it's all foolish, well, I'll just read it to you. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." If preaching of the Word of God doesn't excite us, there's something not right in our hearts. So I wanted to give a moment here as we preach this morning. We preach, which means to speak with a living voice. I don't want to be dead, all right? I don't want to bore you to where you wish you were dead, all right? We ought to speak with an excitement, and we ought to speak with, you know, some zeal in our voice. You find throughout the Word of God, in Mark chapter number 1, John the Baptist preaching. You see in Mark chapter 1 later in that same chapter, Jesus preaching. We see in Acts chapter number 2, Peter gets up with a loud voice and preaches. In Acts chapter number 8, Philip gets up and he preaches. In Acts chapter number 9, the Apostle Paul gets up and he begins to preach. In Acts chapter 13, Barnabas gets up and he preaches. In Timothy, Paul instructs Timothy to get up and to preach the Word of God. Now why? Because we need it. We need it. Now there's a lot of different messages going out, but the Bible says here specifically, again, look at verse number 18, "For the preaching of the cross." That's what this world needs today. We have a lot of self-help, and we got a lot make you feel good, and got a lot you're going to be okay. And there's a time for messages like that. What the world is greatly lacking today is the preaching of the cross. And I want you to see a couple things with me real quick this morning. What is the preaching of the cross? What is this kind of preaching? Well, why don't you understand, number one, in verse number 17, it is preaching the gospel. It says in verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Preaching of the cross is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand today, and in this verse says, not with the wisdom of words. In other words, not doing it in man's sort of way or doing it to where it's a man-pleasing way, but we need to preach the gospel. You say, well, what is the gospel? Look at a few things with me real quick. Turn, if you have your Bibles, or just listen real close, in Romans chapter 1. My brother Susan might be able to put it up. Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16 says this. In Romans 1, verse number 16, it says here in the book of Romans about the gospel, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that," what does what? "Believeth." To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Number one, if we're going to preach the gospel, we are preaching salvation. We are preaching salvation. Understand this, that the reason why we are to preach the cross, we are to preach the gospel, because that is our means of salvation, by hearing the Word of God. The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing." We need to preach the gospel because that is the way to heaven. It is salvation. Now, I'm getting there. Just hang on, all right? But I want you to understand what I'm doing this morning is extremely important. I'm not filling time. I'm not, you know, trying to entertain anyone. I am standing in some's life tonight and today between them and eternity and hell. So anytime someone gets up, we ought to pray for them. Because the preaching of the gospel is preaching salvation. The gospel, again, this verse says, it is the power of God unto salvation. Understand this, that, say, why do we need saved? Well, the Bible says the wages of our sin is death. Because of our sin, there's a curse. And again, you didn't sin and become a sinner. You sinned and I sinned because we are sinners. That's what we are. I mean, no one ever had to teach you how to lie, steal, or cheat. It came by you naturally. We are all that way, and because of our sin, we deserve death. And that death is described in the book of Revelation. It talks about, now the Bible says in Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die. All of us in this auditorium are going to die once. Unless the Lord comes back, we all will have that appointment that we will make. It's living in a sin-cursed world. But the Bible says there is a second death. You understand it the same way. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and God told Adam that if you eat of this fruit, the day that you eat it, ye shall surely die. Now remember Adam and Eve, they ate that fruit. Did they, when they bite that fruit, did they drop over dead? No, it was a different type of death. It was a spiritual death. And they died. And we, that's the way we were born. We were born in our trespasses and sin. And because of that, Revelation says there is a second death. It's not appointed to us. God doesn't want you to face this second death. But that second death, the Bible teaches, is the lake of fire. But God doesn't want you to go there. God has made a way of salvation. He has provided, and it is the gospel. The gospel gives us salvation. You say, well, what is this gospel? Look over real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 1 and in verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, it describes what the gospel is. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this in verse number 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse number 3 says this, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Understand that we are to preach the gospel. The gospel is the way of salvation. The gospel teaches according to the Scriptures that, number one, understand, we're all in trouble. Well, I left us off. I know you're on, you know, it's a cliffhanger, but we're all sinners. Because of our sin, we deserve the lake of fire. But God has made a way. You understand this. In order, the wages of sin is what? Death. In order for our sins to be paid for, there must be a sacrifice of death. But the problem is this. I can't die for your sins because I'm guilty. I am a sinner. So I can't make that penalty payment. You know, you can't pay it for me because you're a sinner. I can't pay it for you. It's like if you owned a big mansion, you owned $1 million, right? And you said, hey, can you take care of that for me? No. I don't have $1 million. I can't pay for that. You and I are in the same boat. We're all sinners. So a sinner can't pay the penalty of death because we all owe it. Does that make sense? We all are sinners, so we all owe that debt that we can't pay. But there's one who came. His name is Jesus. He is the Son of God. And he came to this world. He, being God, is righteous and holy and perfect. And he lived his life. And when he went to the cross, he was able to die for our sins. He paid that penalty for me and you. Why? Because he is righteous. He is holy. I couldn't make that payment for myself or you. You couldn't make it for me or anyone else because we all owed it. But he who is perfect, he who is righteous, he went on that cross and he's the only one that ever could do it. But he took our sin debt upon himself. He paid for our sins. He died. Because the wages of our sin is death. He died. They placed him in a grave. But understand this. If he would have stayed in that grave, then death would have beat him too. But just as the scriptures teach, in 3 days, the ground began to shake. The stone rolled away, and Jesus rose from the grave. You say, why is that so important? Because he showed that he not only paid for our sins, but he conquered death. And that penalty of death has been defeated through Jesus Christ. And so today, when we preach the gospel, we preach salvation, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We are teaching the scriptures today that Jesus Christ is the one who died for our sins. He was buried, but he rose again. And the Bible says that it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. If you believe today, and have had that time in your life, the Bible again says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That was God's gift to us. He loves us so much, he wants to have this relationship with everyone, so that he allowed his Son to come and die for our sins. And now eternal life is for everybody. It's a gift. But you must choose to receive it by believing. If we preach the gospel, we're preaching salvation, we're preaching the death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures. If we're preaching the gospel, we are preaching Jesus. Understand this, there is no other way to heaven but through our Savior. In Acts, in chapter number 8, in verse number 35, let me read this verse to you real quick. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, I believe that's the verse I want. Acts 8, verse number 35 says this. Then there's this guy, I'll give you the background here. There's this guy who wanted to go to heaven. He wanted to find out what eternal life was. And the Bible says that there's this preacher who went and he spoke to him in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. My friends, the Bible says this specifically. Jesus said these words, and I quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, it's not being baptized. I'm a Baptist. The word Baptist comes from baptism, all right? But those waters are not what send people to heaven. Remember when there's a thief on the cross who looked at the Lord and told him that he believed in him, and the Lord said, this day you'll be with me in paradise? He didn't hop off the cross and get baptized, because it's a matter of who you believe in. These waters only testify of our faith. The reason we get baptized is because we are professing that I have believed that Jesus came, that he died and was buried, and that he rose again. It is our way of expressing our faith. But it's the faith. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. This is the typical answer. When we go and we talk to people, we'll knock on doors and say, hey, do you know that you're going to heaven? And that person will look at you and say this. This is what you hear most of the time. I hope so. I'm a pretty good person. I'm not near as bad as so-and-so, right? And we all have so-and-sos in our life that we're not near as bad as, right? I mean, I don't care who you are. I mean, you can be a creep today, but there's somebody worse than you, right? I mean, they're out there. If you start comparing yourself. But it's not, the Bible says this specifically, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. The only way to go to heaven is by believing that Jesus Christ did what he said he would do, and he is who he says that he is. Otherwise, when we get to heaven, we'd all be high-fiving each other saying, we did it. But when we get to heaven, we'll only have one story. He did it. So when we preach the gospel, we're preaching salvation. According to the scriptures, we're preaching our Savior. But can I just tell you one last thing real quick? We are preaching simplicity. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and in verse number 3, Paul said he had a fear. He feared some things for the people that he had been preaching to. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 3, it says this. Paul said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Salvation is simple. You have a God who wants you to have it. A God who has paid for you to have it. A God who says this is a gift. All you must do is believe and receive this gift. The devil's the one that tries to make it difficult. The Bible says specifically, and let me just read this to you. You all know John 3:16 I just quoted a minute ago. Let me back up a little bit in John chapter 3. As Jesus was speaking to a man named Nicodemus who wanted to go to heaven, Jesus is explaining to him how he could go to heaven. And he says in John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus had to die. Listen to verse 15. These are Jesus' words, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, the next verse says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." In other words, you had to do nothing to be a sinner. That's what we are. You had to do nothing to not believe, because that's the way we were born. But there has to come at a time in our life when we choose to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we say, "I am the sinner, I am unworthy, but I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe he paid for my sins, and I choose to receive this gift of eternal life." And my friend, if you believe that, God says it's yours. You say, "That's awful simple." But Paul said, "I worry that people would be blinded from this simplicity." It is a matter of our realizing, yes, we're a sinner, but Jesus died for us. We need the preaching of the gospel. There's enough humanistic thought out there. I taught in my Sunday school class just earlier this morning. The culture in which we live in just teaches people, "You're good. You're fine. You can do it yourself. You don't need anyone." Well, that's a lie. We need the Lord. Without him, we're nothing. Without him, we have no hope. So do you really believe this, preacher? With all my heart. There's enough, man likes to bring cleverness into the picture when all we need is Calvary. Man tries to promote humanistic thoughts, but what we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And back in our text, it says this, what is preaching? Again, back in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, it says in verse 17, "I am come not to baptize," Paul said, "but I am come to preach the gospel." Then in verse number 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Now you got to stop and think here. True preaching is preaching the gospel. And true preaching is preaching things sometimes that the world's going to point at and say, "That's foolish." You know why they would call it foolish? Because it takes this. Ready? Here's the word. Faith. Faith. The word here that's found in verse number 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That word in the language that it was written in is the word moron. That's where we get the word moron. In other words, people are going to look at what I've just preached to you and say, "That's stupid." People are going to look at what takes faith and mock it. Say, like what? The fact that the Bible says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Say, how did everything get here? It wasn't a big explosion. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't some little cell that started morphing into something else. God created it. In 6 days, God created this world. You say, well, that's not what Dr. So-and-so said. Yeah, I know. Foolishness. But God's word is truth. You see, preaching, when we understand what the word of God says, it takes faith. Now, I'll go ahead and for you sit there and say, well, I just don't live my life on faith, all right? Everybody lives their life on faith. Your life is full of faith. You had faith in that chair, that pew that you sat in today. I don't think anyone got underneath of it and said, all right, let me check the supports here. Because if you did, you might not have sat down. All right? You didn't check it out, all right? You didn't look at it to see how structural, sound, all right, this pew was. You had faith. You sat in it. Everybody has faith. Matter of fact, I would say this. It takes more faith to think that all of this world came from an explosion than what I believe in. I mean, what are the chances of putting all the components of a car in a giant box, shaking it, and a car rolls out? Not a chance. But I have a God who spoke it into an existence because he's an almighty God. Faith. In faith. You see, when we preach, you know what real preaching does? It points people to the Lord. I'm not just talking salvation. I've already preached that. There are people in this room. Now, everybody stay with me just a second. There's people in this room that if it weren't for Jesus, our homes would be a wreck. There are people in this room that if it wasn't for their faith, they've already died. They would have died in a gutter somewhere, an alcoholic. Because there were some in this room that were on that path. They were heading down that life. There were some in this room right now that were already feeling the addictive power of drugs and immoral living, of being a thief. You see, you're sitting in a room not of people who are special. You're not sitting in a room of people that are a little bit luckier than you. You're not sitting in a room of people that have some sort of knowledge that you don't have. You are sitting amongst people that were drunkards, that were alcoholics, that were drug addicts, that were immoral, that were liars and cheaters, and we stole things and we thought wicked things. You're in that kind of room. You say, well, then what's different about you? Faith. We have put our faith in one who has changed our life. He has put our homes back together. He has restored our lives. He's broken the power of sin in our life. We've been able to lay down the shackles of addiction. We've been able to get victory in different areas because our God is greater than all of that. And preaching does not give you self-motivation to overcome your own issues. Preaching will give you and teach you faith in a God that can give you victory. So preaching is preaching here the gospel. It is preaching faith. It is pointing people to the one who can change their life. And preaching in verse number 18, and I'm done. It is power. Verse number 18 says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, because it takes faith. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now you get what that verse says, right? Preaching for us that are saved. Well, it says, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Has your car ever been out of gas? Mine has, right? Yours has too. Only me and Brother Fountain have a car, and everyone else has all gas all the time, I guess, all right? Yes! All right? You pull in. Why do you pull in? Because you're running low. And without the gas, you have no power in the car. Why do we have preaching? Because it gives us what we need to live this Christian life. It is the power of God. It gives us, obviously, number one, preaching of the cross preaches salvation and how God can save a soul. Understand this morning, I can't save you. You can't save anyone else. So why are you preaching? I'm telling you about the one who can. John chapter 1 and verse number 12, listen to the power of God here. John chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The moment you believe, God's power does a work in your life. the moment that whoever it may be sitting in this room, Matthew, stand up, Matthew, right? There he is, all right? Matthew's a good young man, all right? The moment that Matthew, understand this, he was born a sinner. Wasn't he, brother Scott? Yes. He was evil, right? He was born a sinner. He was born on his way towards hell, just like all of us. But the moment, now understand, he's been raised in church. Thank the Lord. He's heard the gospel from the time he was in a 2- and 3-year-old Sunday school class. He was hearing about the gospel. He was hearing about Jesus. He went in junior church. He sat in the auditorium. His parents and others, they influenced his life and kept pointing him to Jesus. And there had to come a time in his life when Matthew said, I choose to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. At that moment, God's power did a work in his life. I didn't save him. His daddy didn't save him. His mommy didn't save him. His Sunday school teacher didn't save him. God saved him. God's power transformed him. And he went from a sinner to a child of God. So, well, what did Matthew do? He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed on him. And at that moment, God's power did a work in his life. That's why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So we're thankful for the power of God. Thank you, Matthew. It is the power to convert. But also, we come to church. Most of the people sitting in this auditorium have already accepted Christ as their Savior. You know you're going to heaven? Thank God. Say amen.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing. So then why do you keep coming back, right? Well, trust me, it's not the great oratory skills of this guy. It's definitely not the look, because I'm wearing a baseball jersey, right? Definitely not that. Why did it keep coming back? Because we need preaching to help us to conquer sin. You ever sat in a church service, Christian, knowing there's something in your life that isn't right, and the preacher must have found out about it, right? We always think that way, right? Just whatever we were going through, all of a sudden, who whispered to the preacher? We go home, we call our Aunt Susie. Hey, did you call that pastor and tell him what I told you? No, right? Well, what's going on? The Holy Spirit knows our needs. So he leads. And we come to church, not, Brother Slee had a talk with the kids earlier this week, didn't you, Brother Slee? Had a talk with the kids. It was a couple of nights during the missions conference. You know, there's like whispering. And it was during the special and the offerings and things like that. I don't think during the preaching so much. So why did he talk to him? The preaching hadn't started. Because he asked him, he said, what is all the music for? And all the kids were like, because they're so smart. They said, to prepare our hearts for the preaching. So you should be preparing your heart. Why does, you know, Miss Morgan and Miss Mara and these others who prepare an offertory and play it, I mean, what are they doing? I mean, they're not putting on a show. They're not charging admission. They seek God to say, all right, what do you want? I'm going to prepare. And they have it prepared because they want to help prepare people for the preaching. Because we need to hear it. So we come and we need to listen because it helps us to get what we need to conquer sin. It helps us to motivate us to share this good news. Aren't you thankful you've heard the good news of Jesus Christ? We need to share it. We need to tell other people. We need to take what we have heard and preach it to other people. Because guess what? It's not just my job to preach. Now, to pastor, yeah, that's my responsibility, right? But God gave to every believer the ministry of reconciliation to go and to share the good news. So you know why we come? You know why we sit here and need preaching? Because it helps build us. Just like that car, I pull in sometimes into a Thursday night church or Sunday church, and I pull in, and I'm tired, and I'm weary. that pull in sometimes and sputtering. And I need the preaching of the Word of God. It shows us how a sinner can be converted. It shows us how I can conquer any sin. It shows me how, listen, some in this auditorium are going through trials. It shows how God can calm you, give you victory in these things. With a grieving heart, we find comfort in the Word of God. We need preaching. So today, I just want to encourage you. Take heed to preaching. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ and His gift of salvation, would you please do so today? Salvation, just as was preached, it is the power of God unto salvation. It comes from the Scriptures, God's Word, that He died, was buried, and He rose again. There is no other way to heaven but through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it truly is simple. The act of believing and receiving. Heed the message today of preaching, that of faith. That you can put your faith in this God. That He will save your soul, that He will get you through whatever trial you're going through. He will satisfy what is missing inside. He will be the calm in your suffering. Put your faith in Him. And understand that preaching is a power that motivates us, power that comforts us, power that calms us, power that will guide us, direct us. Not me. I didn't get this far in my class, Sunday school class this morning, but Paul said this, and I'm done with this. Paul's about to help the people that he's writing to in saying not to think too highly of yourself, because we all have that issue sometimes. And so Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, he starts out before he says that we all need to love each other, we all need to get along with each other, and we all need to, you know, work with each other. He says this, he never to think too highly of yourself, but he starts the verse with this, according to the grace that's given unto me, that a man not think highly of himself. In other words, Paul says this, I'm nothing special either. God has told me this, and I am not telling you what I think is right. I'm not telling you that I'm something special. And I join with Paul today in looking at you saying, I am just a person like you. I have my faults like you do. I have my struggles like you have. But according to the grace given unto me. In other words, it's not my authority. It's this book. And today I encourage you to listen to the preaching of this book. It is the power of God unto salvation. You're hearing you've never been saved. You can be saved today. You're here and you're about to give up on life. There have been people who have sat in this auditorium on Sunday morning and took their life before the next Sunday. You talk about as a preacher how that shakes you. That there are people who might be sitting in your pew this morning that are about done with life. My friend, there's hope. That hope is in Jesus Christ. You say, well, I've gone too far in the sin. You don't know how a grip it has on me. He'll set you free. Under His authority. Let God have His way. Would you bow your heads with me?